I want to welcome you all back. We're close, all right? Okay, we have a quorum. How about that?
We have new pages?
No.
Same.
Okay.
Oh, okay. We do have one new kid. We have one new kid on the committee here, so. Anyway, it's great that Diana's with us now. Do you want to say hello in an official way?
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just delighted to advance public health and healthcare and human services policy with the rest of you, and hope I find a place to contribute.
Yeah. Yeah. Doug was a new kid last time, and none of you are really new kids, but it's really good to have both of you here and be about the business that we have. Today is bonding day. Not as popular a day as some days we've had in this committee, but we had a pretty good crowd here. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chair,
we
also have a new research.
Please introduce. Yeah,
yeah, maybe she could introduce herself.
I'm Lucy Morgan, and I'm the new GFL Caucus Researcher for Health and Human Services. It's my first day.
Well, welcome, Lucy. Yeah, so it's nice to have you here. You'll have fun.
We introduced Doug Berg as well.
Oh, we introduced him in November. Do you want to? Well, go ahead. This is our first official meeting in the new year.
I'm Doug Berg. I'm on the fiscal staff. I've been on the fiscal staff for a long time, but I've done higher ed and economic development until about 2 months ago.
And he actually selected this committee. So
I volunteered.
Yeah. Anyway, so today we're going to hear, six or so proposals. Actually, three, and then the governor's recs. And what we're going to do. I don't know if it's novel, but I just thought it'd be a fair way to do it. Everybody has a ballot, and whatever lobbying has happened is, the polls will be closing soon. But anyway, so you're going to vote yes to recommend it, no to not recommend it, no, you don't like it at all. That's what no is, and the neutral is you're neutral on it, without recommendation. And then this sheet will be calibrated by our Mr. Lear in association with Mr. Ritchie, and then that'll be presented next time, and I guess we'll just publicly acknowledge the memo and then just move it on as a canvassing board of whatever the votes are, and then the bonding committee will take that into consideration as they weigh the pros and the cons. My experience with the recommendations of committees like ours is that they're interesting to the bonding committee. If it's all no on something, it doesn't mean it's gone. If it's all yeses, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. But I think the audience knows that too, who is here promoting the various projects. But at least that way there'll be a flavor of the sense of the committee. And so I think that's fair. So any questions about that? And then you're going to collect them, Andy? And then so make sure Andy gets those, and that seems like the fairest way to do it. And there's no names on these. They're all going to be anonymous. It'll be the folder. He has the balloting folder. And if a Chad falls off, then Andy will be the final decider of that. So anyway, Representative McFarland, why don't you come down? And Representative Slawick, we can move the bill so it's in front of us. And so these jackets are with us. Like, I was just working on logistics. The jackets don't move, apparently. They just... They come here and stay, but we still bring the bill ahead forward us to consider. So, Representative Slawick.
Mr. Chair, as I live in Maplewood, and Tubman is a project that is located in Maplewood, I would like to move. Sorry, am I officially moving it? I would like to move the bill.
Put it before us. And I think we're doing 10 minutes or less on each of these first three, so just for the sense of the audience. So, Representative McFarland, say what you want to say, and your testifier's here. So.
Thank you. Bringing forward House File 291. I do have an oral author's amendment. Didn't get it in time, so.
Okay, yeah, so Representative Slawick will move the amendment, whatever. Hope you like it.
I may have
to. But she's not on that. So, yeah, Representative Slawick has to move the amendment.
Okay, I'd like to move the amendment.
Thank you.
I think Representative McFarland will explain it.
Good answer.
Okay. Is it in December?
I think it's the dollar amount.
Yeah, in the last few days of December, the governor's office called Tubman and said that they had a real interest in this project, and they asked them not only to design, renovate, and equip the center, they want to help to complete the purchase. And so this grant would go to the city of Maplewood. The changes would be for the dollar amount that he had recommended at that time, $3,935,000. And the, I'm not sure which line it's on, I'm sorry.
1.8.
That's 1.8. In line 1.9, after Maplewood 2, add the words complete the purchase of. And on line, sorry, chemical help. Line 1.2, insert elder care resources, comma, before and.
Would say that last one again in the title?
Elder care resources on line 1.12,
1.1.
Before the word and community education.
Maybe I'll repeat that for you. Make sure we got it straight. So you're moving on line 1.18 to strike 2 million and insert 3,935,000. On line 1.9 after the second 2, you're going to insert complete the purchase of. On line 1.12 after the and, it's you're inserting elder care resources, and I suspect on 1.16 you have to change that number.
Yes.
As well. And so on line 1.16, we'd be striking the 2 million and inserting 3,935,000. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Does everybody get that?
Yeah.
Any questions about that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's adopted. To your presentation.
Okay.
You have 8 minutes.
This would give the City of Maplewood the ability to help with the purchase of the renovation of the former monastery for the Harriet Tubman Center East. And I have with me today Bev Dussault, the executive director, and I think she could probably do a better job than I can of explaining it. She's got a PowerPoint, and she's going to be brief.
I will.
Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself. And
my name is Beverly Dussault. I'm the president of Tubman. And do I need to do my address, too, or not?
No.
Thank you. Okay. Good morning and good afternoon. And thank you, Mr. Chair and representatives, for allowing me to come and visit with you. And, of course, a special thanks to the authors of this bill, which include Representative Slawick, Representative Lohmer, and, as you know, sitting beside me, Carol, Representative Carol McFarlane. This is a request to create what was a monastery as a regional collaborative safety service center, Harriet Tubman Center East. We've called the campaign Safe, Sound, and Smart because we think that that's what this is, and I'd like to tell you why. I must say that I believe I'm very lucky not only to be the first one on the docket this afternoon, but also that I think I'm bringing you a project that is, for all intents and purposes, a real win-win. The sisters would argue that this isn't luck. Mm. This is an extraordinary, much more powerful hand at an operation, but I'm awfully glad to be here in any regard. We think that this is, the reason that this is Safe, Sound, and Smart are the following. First, why safe? Because this appropriation would make an extraordinary building safe for families in the community to reuse. We're not building new. The funds, as Representative McFarland said, is about the purchase. Here's a winter picture of it. It's about the purchase, meeting the codes for accessibility, life safety, sprinklers, elevators, and to bring in more technology. And to equip the center so that it is useful in serving not only those living there, but also those learning there, as well as those that we serve through that building across the state of Minnesota and the region. What do we do? Maybe you know, maybe you don't know about the newer mergers, and part of that was in the bill's amendment. It is, of course, shelter and legal protection for domestic violence victims. It means mental and chemical health support for those struggling with that. It's protection and education for elders, their caregivers, and actually the other end of the age spectrum, which is youths, so that they're safe and secure. And finally, as always, it is a statewide and community training and education center. We think this is a sound investment on behalf of the state because of the reuse of a building that is historically significant as well as tremendously useful. And using it is far less costly than building new. This appropriation means that from this site alone, we have others, we would be serving 35,000 to 40,000 people annually, living there, studying there, and through there as we reach out across the state. And it's not just Tubman. The building is easily accessible for many of our partners so that they can put staff in their partnerships, not only in the human service sector, but also counties and cities so that they can serve out of there as well. We think that this is a tremendously smart investment because, and this is where I think the true win-win comes about, it's because we will be saving over $15,000 a month in public safety dollars that can be reinvested as in all of the other victims and others that need it. And at the same time, this will provide 147, we think, hammer-ready jobs. We're much farther along than shovels. And in addition, we believe this will create, within probably a two-year period of time, 32 new ongoing jobs in service in the industry. So we think we can, with this appropriation, we can finish this first phase one of the project. We can make it safe. We can invest soundly, reuse it, and serve more in the process. And we can be smart by saving the state's dollars and creating jobs. We believe we can change the lives of thousands of Minnesotans, not just this year, but as well in the future. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, representatives, for letting me be here today. And, of course, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Can I add one other thing?
Yeah, Representative McMullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you forgot to mention about the elder care part.
Oh, my goodness. We just again, my learning curve. Our most recent merger is with Elder Care Alliances, Elder Care Alliance and Rights. And what that has meant is they've done elder care services across the state of Minnesota for many years. And I know Iris Freeman, you may know, she's been here to visit with you and lobby on behalf of Elder Services and Resources for a very long time. I can't tell you how proud I am that they are a center of Tubman and that Tubman has the opportunity to support these, we think, in new and different ways, and especially and particularly through this building. Because of the technology we can put into it and because of the classroom space, workshop space, and group space that is within it, we think we can multiply the services and accessibility many-fold, at least four times what we've been able to do as Elder Care Rights Alliance in the past, in the first 2 years. So it's the elder. We've, of course, Tubman has always had elder victims. I'm sorry to say, and I'm proud to say, but this also means that we can expand those services substantially, not only to the victims, but more importantly to the education of the caregivers, and even more importantly than that, to the people in nursing homes and elder care centers all across the state. We think we're really the first right hand for these folks as we move forward. The slides that you're looking at show just how beautiful it is and how open these stairwells are. We need to toddler-proof it. The sisters were fine there. But for community and families and children, it needs to be more than beautiful. It absolutely must be safe and up to code. So we thought best we show you what the money would go for, and this is it. We can close it in. And we can return this building to a full use as the sisters meant to have it be when they built it 45 years ago. And McGough, that built it originally, are the general contractors, and they know what they're doing in saving an extraordinary structure for the state of Minnesota. Okay. Thank you.
Well, we have 2 minutes for questions. Representative Slavik, didn't say anything. This is in your district. So.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to let the members know this is a really important project for Maplewood, for the east, the greater East Metro, as well as the metropolitan area and the state. As we know, victims of domestic violence come from all over the state, and to be able to come to this facility and have a safe place to stay while they're getting their lives back together, I think is really important. It's also really unique. You know, this is the same architect as St. John's, and I can't remember who that was.
The Abbey.
Yeah, and who's, so it's just this really sound building. And I think I was just going to ask, what is the timeline? How soon would this happen if the bonding? We know the members are going to rank this very high, I'm hoping.
Thank you.
Now we'd have the ranking sheets.
It's legal. Yeah.
And what's the timeline? What would happen, and when would it be ready?
According to McGough, we can start within 2 weeks of the decision, and it shouldn't take more than 60 to 90 days to complete all the work that is ahead of us to get the building up and operating in phase one.
So it's shovel ready. Representative Mack, it's the last question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question. I think I heard you say this would be for phase one.
Yes.
I was just curious what's all included in phase one and then what's needed beyond that. And then my only other question was, where is the other funding? Is this in the entirety of what's needed for this project or this phase, or is there additional funding needed from other sources?
Representative, did you get a copy of the one-page handout?
Did that get passed around?
That will, on the front and back, that tells about services. Phase, but to respond to you in regard to your other questions, and please follow up if I'm not complete. Phase one means bringing the building back online and making it safe. It's all about the codes. It's about accessibility. It's about life safety that are required, or we can't use the building. That's what's holding us out now. Phase two includes three very important things, but they're not necessary to the initial operation and most of the programming. There are two extraordinary spaces in parts of the building. One is an unbelievable kitchen that we hope to turn into a regional-wide meal, nutrition, learning, and service center. But we want to do that with partners. The second is we want to bring in a health clinic because there's a wonderful space in there. It's needed in our communities in the East Metro area, which has, and the final thing is the numbers here include all of the things that we need to live there except air conditioning. And the AC is $1.1 million in a poured, designed cement structure. Is that it?
Is that okay? Yeah. So I think we'll have to call it a day on this topic. If you have more questions, I'm sure you could meet with people. And this, as I mentioned, this is not the final stop this bill is going to. So there's lots of room for discussion. And it sounds like you're on to something with this proposal. So
thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank
you. Yeah,
ma'am.
Thanks for coming. Representative House, do you want to come up? Diane, do you want to move it? You want to move it?
Move the bill?
Yeah. While he's coming, Representative Anderson will move the bill.
I'd like to move House File 1922.
Representative House, welcome to the committee. This is great having you here.
Well, it's great.
Well, actually, we have to move the minutes. Sorry, we have business to do. Representative Slawick, I'd like to move the minutes. We discussed this earlier, and she's prepared to make that motion.
Yes, Mr. Chair, so moved.
Any questions about them? Who remembers what day that was? That was our meeting from the November meeting. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? See, I put you on a winning move there, Representative House. We got you something to just pass here.
So a friendly committee.
Oh, I think so, yeah. So you've got about 9 minutes, so tell us.
I hope we won't have to use that much. This is the Washburn Center for Children. They take care of mental health issues for children. What they want is $5 million to get them started to build a new facility in Minneapolis. They have an old one now that's not quite doing what it should do, and they have two satellite offices, I think, Minnetonka, and I forget where the other one was. But they're one of the leading in the nation with mental health care for children. I think it's a good project. It's a good group. And I brought somebody with me here today to tell you what they actually do in the building.
Welcome to the committee. Please tell us
your
name.
Chairman Abler. Mr. Chairman Abler, members of the committee, my name is Steve Lipinski. I'm the executive director at Washburn Center for Children. It's a 129-year-old nonprofit children's organization in Minnesota. We're located in Minneapolis for our primary office. As was indicated, we have satellite offices in Brooklyn Park and Minnetonka. We also have service sites in 18 schools in Minneapolis, Eden Prairie, and Bloomington. And we offer in-home services in Ramsey, Dakota, and Hennepin County. We think, the leading community resource in Minnesota for the assessment and treatment of children's mental health and for the training of the next generation of child clinicians. In order to service the more than 80% of children who have mental health issues and are not getting help, we are planning to build a new facility in Minneapolis at a cost of about $21 million. $16 million of that will come from private funds, and we are seeking $5 million in state bond funds. The new facility will replace a current facility that has become too small and outmoded. A weak foundation in that facility prohibits us from expanding at that site. We have doubled the number of children we're serving in the last 6 years, and the new facility will enable us to continue to expand the number of children we serve past the 2,500 kids that we serve now and their 7,000 family members. It will also help us expand and enhance the training that we do. Each year we train about 70 undergraduate, graduate, and postdoctoral level clinicians who continue their careers, most of them we hope in Minnesota. Children's mental health is a critical issue in Minnesota. Hundreds of thousands of children have social, emotional, behavior problems that interfere with their lives and for the most part interfere with their educational success. These are kids that are at age 5 are not ready for school. They begin failing in school. They drop out of school as adolescents, too often get involved in the juvenile justice system. In addition to robbing children of a happy childhood, untreated mental health issues cost millions of dollars in education, health, child welfare, and criminal justice costs. It's estimated that about 70% of the juveniles that are incarcerated in juvenile justice facilities have a mental health diagnosis. And the national cost of treatment and lost productivity related to mental health issues is estimated to be about $247 billion. Washburn is the only community mental health center in Minnesota that provides services only to children. We've been recognized regionally and nationally for the work that we do in providing high-quality mental health services by bringing new knowledge into our programs, by using evidence-based practices, by developing new treatment models, and by focusing on child trauma. We work with children suffering from depression, anxiety, the effects of trauma, behavior problems, attention deficit disorder, learning difficulties. Our programs are all non-residential, no hospital beds. We include day treatment, crisis stabilization, outpatient therapy, and preschool services. We do a variety of outcome measures, and almost all of our outcome measures indicate success between 80 and 90%. So I thank you. I appreciate the chance to talk to the committee. Again, I would be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Members, Representative Slawik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the test for our, I'm a fan of your work, you know, wonderful work you do. When we had to structure the Tubman one, you have to have a fiscal agent involved. Who's your fiscal agent? I can't seem to find it.
Hennepin County.
It is Hennepin County. Yes. Okay. And Mr. Chair?
Yes.
What phase are you in of the project? And kind of around, like Representative Mack asked, you know, so what phase are you in? How much private funding? Those types of things.
We have a capital campaign undertaken. Don Shelby is chairing our capital campaign. We have raised just over $2 million at this point. We have requests into a variety of funders totaling about $7 or $8 million, and you know, our goal is to break ground in 2013 and be in the facility in 2014.
And there's a whole book on this. I was just reading as a chart, and it's an excellent question though, chart or not. Other questions,
Mr. Chair?
Representative Slawik. Yeah.
What I was trying to figure out is if you need it this year, you could get it in 2 years.
Mr. Lipinski.
Yeah. Our hope is, as I say, our hope is to be in the building in 2014, and it's always tough to commit because of the nature of fundraising campaigns. Some donors decide actually not to make a contribution, or they decide to delay it for a year or so. And so, we're hopeful and optimistic. We'd like to be in there as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Well, seeing no questions, Representative Hollis, do you want to have a final comment here?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for not picking on me.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, thanks. You're excused. And now, Mr. Cardenas, are you there? And Representative Fritz would like to, you know, sit up there. You're presenting. Okay. I recognize the topic. And while they're coming, I'll just comment that Anoka, the former state hospital, had a whole graveyard with numbers, and this was completed 2 years ago now, is it, with a community partnership, and we got a really cool fence up there, and one guy just really stellar, and it was a very moving time when we got ours squared away. So I guess you think I'm a supporter. That's correct.
I hope so. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, for hearing us again, the Remembering with Dignity legislation that I've had the privilege to work with, and these gentlemen here as well, over the years. And I just wanted to refresh people's memory a little bit about the project. Between the years of 1866 and 1997, almost 13,000 Minnesotans who died while living in state institutions were buried in anonymous graves. at those institutions. And I have at the Faribault area, which we used to be the Faribault State School and Hospital, there is a grave site there that we have completed, the east side grave site that we have completed there. There are still grave sites in the Faribault area to work on. And yes, Mr. Chairman, the Anoka site in your district is completed. The grave sites were marked with a stark stake with just a number on them, like 260, and then it was there was a ledger where the person's name and was written. So they've done a great. They've done all the work. These are the folks here who have worked together, coordinated effort on the part of those patients in those graves, or as I call them, patients, and now I think it's clients. So we have with us today Rick Cardenas and the gentleman also to testify a little and talk about where we're at and the fact that we're halfway there, and thank you again for getting us halfway there. Rick?
Well, welcome to the committee, and tell us your name and take a couple minutes.
My name is Dan Gould. I come being good member of the ACT board. Board, I would like to take a minute to remember.
You're doing great.
Yeah. Of RCA. I've been part of ACT for 10 years. Years remembering with identity of the ACT NRWA. He has passed away. Over 6,000 unmarked markers. We would like to put the names and dates of birthdays on the remaining markers. Thank you.
Good job.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
And this is a new board member, and this is his first time up here.
Yes.
I can't tell, but he's ready to keep going and testify again, I'm sure.
Yep.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Rick Cardenas, and I'm the co-director at Advocating Change Together. And again, thanks for the years of support that we've had. And this year we have a large request in, as we had last year. However, this time we're in the governor's budget, so we'll make it easier on the committee to move this project forward. It would keep us busy for 5 years if we should get the $1 million. And as Representative Fritz has described, we have a lot left to do in Faribault, 1,700 approximately. Others at St. Peter, which we've completed the main campus. However, there are still off-campus markers with just numbers. Sometimes they're stakes, sometimes they're pieces of wood, sometimes they're numbers placed on concrete in coffee cans from days of yore. That's the way they did them in Rochester. So someone had excess coffee cans, so they put the concrete in a number with no name. So our project has been going forward for over 10 years, and hopefully we'll be able to get this funding through to continue and to finish off the remaining 6,500 that we have left. However, over the years, we thought we only had 10,000, but we discovered others as we move forward. And if you can imagine, losing people in unmarked graves is not difficult because our state happened to do that. And that was our policy for many years, that we wanted to hide those individuals who were in state institutions. And that past, of course, has changed. And as a matter of fact, I know many of you voted for our apology bill that we had in 2010, which passed the legislature, and thanks again for that.
Thank you for doing that, by the way.
So hopefully we can move forward with this, and the department wants us to begin at Fergus Falls, which has over 3,100 unmarked graves, and we haven't started then because there are some property issues that kept arising between the city and the owner of the land and us trying to get in there. So we'll try to get that straightened out and begin there this year. Again, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, and I really hope you guys take the time to ask this. This is very, very important. You give these people dignity who passed away, and make sure we remember them in a respectful way.
Well, thank you, Mr. Good and Mr. Cardenas. Representative Fritz, you want to? Members, yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to say, you know, this bill, parts of this project have been around for a while. And, you know, I had the opportunity in Rochester, where I represent, to go and see what's being done. And I just like to say when this comes up that when I first heard about this, I thought, why should we spend money for dead people? Right? They're dead. But then I realized that this really isn't about dead people. It's really about the living. And it's really about the sense that people should all be respected and treated the same with dignity, regardless of whether they have a handicap, a disability, whether they're, you know, however they come into the world, that they should all be treated with dignity and respect. And so I just want to say that I think this is a really important project for that reason, not because it'll make a difference to anybody who died under those terrible circumstances, but because we want to say that we recognize everybody's humanity the same.
Thank you.
Okay, well said.
Thank you.
Other comments or questions? Representative Fritz, do you want to
thank
offer
you
a closing
again
thought?
For thank them for testifying. I think they said it all. So again, yeah. Thank you for getting
you,
us halfway
Good.
There. Help us get all the way. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, very good. I think that's a good discussion about that. The department can come down. And I'm not sure how you're presenting your material, but who's ever the lead? Oh, Mr. Johnson. So you do everything now, don't you? Tell him about his new job.
I need technical help, Mr. Chair.
Oh, and there's a... Okay, and so there's this handout. Is that the handout? Oh, there's two. Are there two handouts?
Mr. Chair and members.
Okay, there's a bigger one. So you brought this. There's a handout. You're going to go off of this one?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
And do you want to tell us what your new job is? I think there's been some changes around. And
Mr. Chair, I'm the Chief Financial and Operating Officer for DHS. Thanks for inviting
Congratulations.
Us here
today. Never mind.
To talk about DHS's requests for the bonding bill. We have a presentation that should look like what you see up here, if you can find that in your packets, PowerPoint presentation. I'll start just by showing you the dollar numbers that we're requesting. And I don't know how your ballot is set up. There's actually four separate requests in the DHS,
yeah.
And so I don't get to vote on all four separately or how that works. But
four
items. We have the $40 million request for the security hospital. This is in St. Peter. You can see that is actually a two-phase project with a second phase that would come in the next bonding cycle. We're estimating now about $35 million. Also in St. Peter for the Minnesota Sex Offender Program, the request for this bonding cycle is $1.7 million for pre-design and design funds, but you can also see that there's a couple of additional phases there, again, potentially with estimated numbers for the next bonding cycles. And I'll talk quite a bit about the St. Peter approach and what we're trying to do with the Security Hospital and the Sex Offender Program in that community. We're also requesting $2.5 million for asset preservation. This is for asset preservation across the system. We own multiple campuses and buildings across the state. We ask for asset preservation most every year to try to help keep those buildings maintained and safe for the people that live in them. And then finally, we're asking for $3.1 million for early childhood facilities. This is a probably familiar to many of you. This authority that's in law now appropriates money through the bonding cycle to the Department of Human Services. We then provide those dollars out to local communities through an RFP process, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. We did receive in the bonding bill from last year, 2011, $1.9 million for early childhood facilities, $4.7 million for asset preservation, as well as about $7 million for one building on the St. Peter campus related to the sex offender program. So when we talk about that, you'll see that we are building off of that in the St. Peter campus. In the St. Peter campus, we're really trying to address three main concerns with this bonding request. First is to address critical patient and staff safety issues in the security hospital itself. The security hospital is not well designed for the current security needs of the patients we have there, as well as for the staff who work there. It is not well designed for the therapeutic environment we want to have for treatment of the clients and patients who are with us in that facility. And I'll show you a little bit more about that, but really we want to address those issues in the security hospital, and that's our top priority. Secondly, with this proposal, we're proposing to separate the vulnerable adult population from the sex offender population. On the lower part of the St. Peter campus, we have two populations. We have a population that is committed as mentally ill and dangerous, and a population that's committed as sex offenders. These populations are in buildings that are next to each other. Some people within those programs have campus privileges. They are out around on the campus and can mix with each other. We don't think that's a good way to be approaching the setting that we have there, and want to move to an approach where we can separate those populations physically into different campuses. Then finally, to address the sex offender program, we are proposing to add more beds in the St. Peter campus in a flexible way, and to add beds in St. Peter, which is where end-stage treatment is for the sex offender program. That's where we need beds now. We don't need beds up in Moose Lake, which is where the beginning part of treatment is. This plan also allows us to be flexible in how we add those beds or when we add them or how many we add them. Right now, under our current census, we do need to add beds. But we know that there's a discussion going on that we've been engaged in around possible policy changes to the sex offender program. If the census changed, this doesn't build us into a position where we're building beds we may not need. We're able to adjust the capacity as the census may change. Most of you are probably familiar with this. As I mentioned before, we have two populations on the St. Peter campus. We have one population that is committed as mentally ill and dangerous. These are people who are mentally ill, often are shown to be a danger either to themselves or to others. Some cases, many cases have been involved in the criminal justice system in some way related to a crime, in some cases not. And then we have the civilly committed sex offender population, which is a predator population, a different kind of population in terms of how they're committed to us and the kind of treatment they get. This is something that for most of you on the Human Services Committee isn't new. We're finding working with people on the bonding committees, they're very familiar with the sex offender population, not as much with the MIND population. We're hoping to try to educate folks on the two different populations and why it's important for us to separate those on our St. Peter campus. This is a map of the St. Peter campus. You can see if you draw a line, horizontal line right under where it says St. Peter campus, that's the Minnesota River Bluff. And on the top part of the slide where you see the big red building, that's the security hospital and also the red nursing home, that is the top of the hill. The buildings that are on the lower part of the slide, the red, green, and blue, those are all buildings that are on the lower part of the campus down below the hill. The red buildings represent security hospital buildings, the blue represent the sex offender program, and green are shared administrative services types of buildings. What you can see right now is we have the main security hospital up on the hill, but we also have two buildings, Bartlett Hall and Johnson Hall, in red on the lower campus, where we're housing some of the transitional patients who are coming out of the security hospital or toward the end stage of treatment. They are down on the lower campus where, with the sex offender population in the blue buildings. What we're trying to get to, and what you'll see at a slide toward the very end, is having the sex offender program on the lower part of the campus and the Minnesota Security Hospital on the upper part of the campus and have that physical separation. That's what we're moving toward with this proposal. This is a shot of the interior living area within the Minnesota Security Hospital in St. Peter. You can see this was not built with security in mind. There are narrow stairways, poor sight lines, split level. The end units where people live are in these split levels, which is very hard for the security staff to sort of keep good sight lines on where different patients are and what they're doing. But it's also hard for the patients who aren't always sure who's going to be around the corner, what's going on. These are people that are on medication and are often unstable, not necessarily good with stairs if they're on antipsychotic medication, lots of stairs in the building. It's not really set up very well for the population that we're serving. The next slide, this is at the Anoka facility, DHS's Anoka facility. This is what a good, secure mental health facility should look like. Wide hallways, well lit, good sight lines from the nurse's station, a good environment to be able to see clearly what's in front of you and what's around you. This is the kind of a direction we want to get to within the security hospital. Again, this is just a close-up of the lower campus, highlighting what I mentioned before, the intermingling of the buildings serving the different populations on this part of the campus. What we're proposing to do in St. Peter in the first phase for the security hospital is $40 million of bonding requests for this bonding round. And there are several elements to it. Importantly, we want to design and build a new 24-bed secure admission hospital. Part of what we're trying to do with this proposal with the security hospital and the patients we're serving there is to separate people by the stages of treatment that they're in. Folks, when they first come in, are often very unstable and need some time in a hospital setting to get medication adjusted, provide other sorts of treatments so that they can then start to move into next stages of treatment. Those patients should not be blended in with treatments. Patients who are in later stages of treatment. What this would do is build a separate 24-bed admission unit for the people that are just coming into the program. We also want to renovate those split-level areas that I just showed you, essentially flatten those out to be one-floor areas that look more like the shot of Anoka that we showed that really gets us toward the kind of environment we want for our patients. And then in the first phase, importantly, building 80 beds of residential space for those that are in the transition program. These are the folks in St. Peter, been committed as mentally ill and dangerous, who are on their way toward transitioning back to the community. Unlike the sex offender program, where we have a lot of debate over the fact that nobody gets out, we are transitioning people out of the security hospital all the time. The average stay in the program is 8 years. Some people do stay there for a very long time, but many don't stay there for as long. The treatment is effective. We're able to move them back into the community with supervision, with proper treatment, and so forth. Importantly, moving these 80 beds up on top of the hill and creating the space there starts to free up then some of the existing buildings on the lower campus to be renovated for the sex offender program in the next phases of our request. And the second phase of the request in 2014 would be additional construction and more of the programming space and more of the transition beds. You can see on this slide the census for the security hospital and the projections going forward. Unlike the sex offender program, the issues with the security hospital are not dramatically about a growing population. You can see it's growing a little bit year by year. In fact, our hope is that with these physical changes that we're proposing, along with other changes we want to make in the treatment program in St. Peter, we can actually shorten that 8-year length of time and maybe not have to have as many people in St. Peter being able to move them through more quickly. So that's what the census looks like currently under our existing projections. This is a diagram of what, and this is a conceptual design, we don't have the full design yet, of what the St. Peter upper campus would look like after the first phase of renovations. And you can see a little yellow building labeled E. That's the admissions unit that I mentioned before, the 24-bed hospital. And again, the exact location, this may not be here, but it would be a building of roughly that size, somewhere that we'd want to be separate from the main building. And you can also see on the main building, which is H, the pink, that's the existing building, the red and yellow ends are where we would renovate and build new space to get rid of those split-level living areas and to create the kind of living areas that have the better sight lines, better environment for the patients, and better safety for the staff. And then the scattered buildings that are out to the right that are labeled F, that's the residential housing. That's the more apartment-like housing for the folks that are at the end stage of treatment or transitioning to community. Those are the beds that we would create on the upper campus in order to free up the space on the lower campus in the older buildings. And then C is the beginning of some of the shared or the programming space. I believe this one is for recreation. There will also be vocational space as we get into the second phase of the proposal. People can stop me any time with questions, or I can just keep going. It doesn't matter to me.
This is probably a good place to take questions on this part. So, welcome. Yeah, you get your first question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Jensen, I'm just wondering, since people are staying here long-term, and you have people who are both dangerous to themselves as well as people who might be a different population who are dangerous to others, is there planned separation between those two groups within this remodeled campus? Someone who's at risk of, you know, suicidal or self-cutting or self-injury seems to me also a vulnerable population if you have them mixed with people who are dangerous to others. And since they're staying so long, I'm wondering if you could comment on to what degree this is designed as a very institutional type of campus as opposed to, and they don't get to kind of like a home-like kind of setting until they're going to be discharged at the end of of that 7 or 8 year period and whether or not that's backed by research.
I know there's staff here if you want to invite them to come down.
I think that I would like to invite, I'm not sure if it's going to be Maureen to come down. Help me. I would say that I think, Representative Loeffler, we're trying to address exactly some of those issues, to have more home-like settings for the people that are in later stages of treatment, to have better separation of environments so that patients that need to be in an environment where they may be separated from other kind of patients, that that's more available and we don't have everybody kind of crowded into the same units. But I'll let Maureen address it in more detail.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Maureen O'Connell. I'm the Assistant Commissioner of Chemical and Mental Health Services. And Representative Loeffler, I think this plan is in part to address many of the issues that you pointed out in your questions. One is I think that we are hopeful that with this new better designed hospital and better designed transition buildings that we will actually be able to reduce the length of stay. And also critical to our vision is the new admission unit where it will be a standalone hospital which will address your issue around patients that are particularly that may be particularly dangerous. I think that what we've found is that often when they are first admitted to the hospital, that is a time where they're, you know, in crisis, and a standalone hospital setting will allow us to better assess where they are. And our hope is that actually some might not even need to be actually formally admitted to the next phase of services, that that some might be able to, once we were able to, you know, get them more stable, that they might be able to proceed to go back to their community and not face the commitment process.
Representative Loeffler, yeah.
Thank you.
And can I just ask you a question, Commissioner? I know you've dug in deeply on a bunch of these programs and all these state-operated service-type things. And I know you're coming forward later with some more big over, you know, some re-looking at everything, and I'm looking forward to that whenever that, at due time. Is that consistent? Is what this is going on, is that consistent with what you're thinking of modernistically? I know it's probably preceded you, but is this consistent with what you've seen so far, where we need to go?
Yes, and I think that this it will really further our vision of trying to serve people in the right place at the right time and to move people through our facilities in a more timely manner.
Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And well, this deja vu for me. It reminds me of our transition from the Faribault State School and Hospital to our prison that we have, these corridors and how unsafe it was. And I don't know if are the nursing schools, Mankato and the Faribault School, do they still intern there at St. Peter? Do you have in classes that come there still?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, we do have an internship program at St. Peter.
And I have not ever been to the facility. When I was in nurses training, we went to another facility. But I think that it would be a good idea for our committee members to tour this facility the way it is, the way it looks today. We looked at the Faribault State School facility a number of times. I hosted committee members, both bonding and healthcare people. So I think sometimes it behooves us to actually do a hands-on. These are very much like the Faribault State School and Hospital corridors, and very unsafe for the staff and the residents.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would really echo what Representative Fritz has said, in that I have been down to St. Peter multiple times since I started as commissioner, and one of the last One of my last tours was the what I call the security tour, where it was pointed out to me all of the places where there were bad sight lines, where there was you know, potential dangers to both patients and staff. And I think it's I think the slides do a good job of trying to point it out, but I would encourage you, if you have any thoughts or doubts about this proposal, I would really encourage you to go to go and take a tour of the facility.
So that's an open invitation. Usually our committee doesn't make those tours. The bonding committee usually does. I presume they've been down to tour?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe they were down. Oh, the Senate bonding committee toured in December? In December.
All right.
But the House bonding committee has not visited St. Peter.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I think this is the largest piece of the proposal, obviously, so I think it is worthy of the questioning we're doing. Are there more questions from people? Can you, Representative Anderson?
Just a brief question, Mr. Chairman. How old is the facility right now, the St. Peter one?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, the facility was built in, I believe it's 1981. Is that correct? 1981.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, and Commissioner, just the bonding world to me is a little bit etherish, as I have watched from the health side of the world. Ideas come and then they go into this magic machine, and the governor gets involved, and the number is 400 or 700, which is quite a range. And I remember trying to get the Moose Lake project to go, and that was controversial. I thought that was pretty a no-brainer. And it seems like some of the work you're doing here is just really where we need to go. I hope people take a moment to look at this. It's a ton of money, but the system costs us a ton of money just in terms of the harm that people do, and there's this societal challenge on every bit of it, not the least of which is the staff, as somebody mentioned. I hope this just goes forward. People will pay attention to this project, and maybe if they want to have more time with the department, they came and chatted with me at some length, and I really appreciated that. I know they would come and chat with members if they would like to, and if you want to go down and have a look, see yourself. Representative Loeffler, I think that would be productive, because I just have a sense that this big price tag is going to have some discussion about it. That doesn't mean it's not without merit, and it may mean it's one of the most important things to do. So I'm just offering that as, I guess, a plug for the project and education. Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and since this is a big amount, and it is going to serve people from throughout the state who have family members or friends who have severe problems. Maybe it's a traumatic brain injury that they can't do much about, or maybe it's other issues. I'm wondering to what degree we should think about, since we seldom make investments in these facilities, accommodating some guest services, so that if someone from northern Minnesota or Metro wanted to come and spend a day or two visiting a family member on campus, we might want to try and accommodate that or arrange for transportation to make sure that people can get there. Because, I mean, our expectation is that most of these people are going to be returned to the community and we want them to have success, keeping those personal relationships and connections is really important. It's pretty scary, I suspect, to go into one of these institutions. And the more that you can maintain that, the more I think people work at their therapies and are going to be more successful and linked to the community when they come home. And have you given any thought to that in terms of how we can make our statewide resources more welcoming and conducive to keeping that family interaction going so that discharge is successful?
Commissioner, I suppose.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I can take that suggestion back, Representative Loeffler, and give it some thought. I think you make a really good point. We know that keeping in touch with family and friends and your support group is really really helps in returning people to their community.
Representative Franson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, I'm looking at these numbers here. Let's see, $40 million, 2012 for one remodel, another remodel, 1.7. $35 million next, or 2014, for a total of $75 million, $29.7 million. Could you tell me how you came up with those numbers?
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair and Representative, we work with consultants who do these kinds of projects who help us to look at the what we're trying to get to in terms of an end need and what the building looks like now, and then we put together a best estimate. It's not an exact art, although there's a lot of construction that goes on both in the public sector and the private sector, but is based on the same kind of work and pre-design design work being done. We started out actually much higher on the security hospital. We originally had a $70 million number in there, and after doing the analysis realized that it wouldn't cost us that much in the first phase to get where we were going. I could ask Mr. Van Buskirk to address it in more detail. He's the one that actually works with the contractors on how to do those kinds of estimates. I'm not directly involved with that piece of it, but if you'd like, I could bring him down as well.
I think we won't do that right now. That's exactly take the time we have left, and you have the 9 minutes to do all the rest of your stuff. But I think we can do a few more minutes on this topic. As I understand it, the money is awarded, and it's an up-to number. And then you do bidding. And someone takes the bid, and if it comes in lower, which a lot of them have come in, then we just save the money, right? It doesn't get spent, and so it's not a blank check just for whimsical spending. And did you have a question?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just a point of clarification. This, like the other bills that we discussed, this will be the last point, correct? We'll have an opportunity to meet with the folks offline,
absolutely,
ask questions, and discuss this again to this
absolutely
committee?
Absolutely. This is the beginning, the first discussion of this topic. It'll be spent, the bonding committee will spend some time. That'll be the other place that's heard, and then there'll be discussions behind the scenes that happen in this ether I mentioned. And they would come to your office, if that's what you're asking. They would come and chat with you at length about the merits and how they did. And I think it's a good exercise. Because we spend a lot of money on a lot of projects. And this is, I think this is a hard topic anyway, you know. But I think it's valid. Lanny? Representative Lanny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Johnson, what is the latest thinking with regard to the Moose Lake facility? Are there plans to come forward with additional work to be done up there, or what's the status? And then how does that relate to this proposal?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lanning, I'm just about to get into that piece of it. Do you want me to just go into the presentation, or should I just direct my answer to Representative Lanning?
Well, if you can give a short answer, right?
Yeah,
we
I
have
think the
7 minutes left.
As far as
the
Moose Lake goes, which isn't part of this presentation, you'll recall that in the last bonding cycle, you appropriated money for sort of the common programming space and administrative space at Moose Lake. That work is almost done. Most of it is done and open. We're still getting the final pieces of that done. And there also is the 400-bed facility that was built, I think, a couple of years before that in Moose Lake. We had come forward 2 years ago asking for another 400 beds in Moose Lake. We are not coming forward with that this year. We are instead asking for what I'm about to get into in this presentation, which is up to 200 beds in St. Peter. In a flexible way that allows us to build the beds more cheaply because we're renovating older space rather than building from the ground up. And what this proposal does for the sex offender program, the 200 beds, is it gets us from 2014, which is where we are right now in terms of bed space relative to our census, up to about 2018. If nothing changes in our census and we're still adding 50, 60 clients a year, then we'll need to revisit that issue and possibly building more beds in Moose Lake. But right now, we're focused on building in St. Peter the 200 beds that are in this proposal.
And I guess we better get back to your presentation. At least, especially I think the parts that are relative, I think we understand system preservation, and that's, you mentioned that, and people can read about that, and that's Oh, and this packet is here for more details about that. But I think that the big ticket things, I think we've covered that pretty well. Now, the other part, the 1.7, do you want to talk about that?
Yes.
That's next up, I think.
Mr. Chair, and well, first I want to reiterate something you said. We welcome the opportunity to meet with anyone to discuss any aspect of the proposal, so please just contact me. We're happy to bring the right folks out to your office and walk through any aspect of the proposal you're interested in. The second priority in our proposal is funds for pre-design and design for remodeling the Bartlett and Sunrise buildings. These are the two buildings on the lower part of the St. Peter campus that under the previous one, we'd be vacating the people that are in that those buildings now, moving them to the upper campus, people that are committed under mentally ill and dangerous, and renovating those buildings now to be part for the sex offender program. As I said before, trying to move toward a place where we have the security hospital and its population on the upper campus and the sex offender program on the lower campus. This pre-design design will be aimed toward construction requests in 2014 and 2016, as I said before, for up to 200 beds. This shows you the census and projections for the sex offender program. As I mentioned before, we're increasing 55 or 60 people a year who are committed to that program. And right now, this is a very rapid ascent in that population. We're trying to be, with this proposal, flexible and realistic at the same time. We need to be in the mode of being prepared to have the beds for the people that under the current law will be committed to us. And that's what we're building toward is the 200 beds that I mentioned before will get us from 2014 to 2018 in terms of managing this caseload. We are hopeful and are working with legislators on possible solutions that could change some of the how people come to our program, where people are in a program, how they get out of our program that may help with changing the census. But for right now, we need to be responsible for what's in current law. As I mentioned, we'll be out of beds in 2014. We're not in the mode right now of proposing a massive new facility in Moose Lake. We want to use the St. Peter campus. That's where the end stage treatment is for the sex offender program. That's where we need capacity right now, is in the end stages of treatment. So we want to build in St. Peter and not in Moose Lake. And this would provide us with 200 beds over the course of the two bonding cycles that we make the requests on, and would also, as I emphasized before, create the physical separation between the sex offender population and the security hospital population. I think I've covered most of this, the 200 beds and for 2018.
And maybe you want to say a word about the system preservation, just a minute on that and 2 minutes on the child facilities, and I think that'll be an overview anyway.
The SF preservation, as you suggested, Mr. Chair, is relatively straightforward. We're asking for $2.5 million. We have sites across the state. This would be targeted at the five campuses that are identified on this slide. And this is really a lot of his life and safety investments, sprinkler systems and so forth, as well as things that you'd normally expect, like replacing old windows, new roofs, that kind of preservation. We have a backlog about $18 million on our asset preservation. So this is just our sort of steady way of chipping away at that list. And then our fourth priority for the DHS request is $3.1 million in bonding for early childhood facilities. This is for helping communities to build or renovate space for early childhood programming across the state. These funds are awarded in an RFP process, so we aren't sitting here with sort of the who gets the money and where it goes. The money is appropriated to the department. We put out an RFP, and then based on the proposals we get back, we start funding projects with the available funds. And all these grants have to be matched with 50% of some kind of a local share. Each of these has some kind of a local partner, usually a school district, but sometimes a city or a county or other governmental unit. We were appropriated $1.9 million for early childhood facilities in the last bonding bill from 2011. That RFP is out on the street right now. We've had a very strong response to it. There's a lot of interest across the state in doing more with early childhood facilities. And I know Mr. McCorder does have a map and a list of previous projects that have been funded, and if that would be helpful, we could distribute that to the committee as well.
Okay, well, we've exhausted our time generally. The I'm not convinced. You get to announce that. You don't want to announce that. Okay. We discussed $49,800,000. $1,000 worth of department proposals in 30 minutes. And the policy behind these is complicated, contentious, and frankly messy. I had the privilege of a private meeting. I suggest members avail themselves of that opportunity as well to go into more detail, ask why this, why not that, and how do we, and because we get back into the policy work. But I commend the department for bringing forward a forward-looking plan and trying to take what they have and modernize it. And it's expensive. This is an expensive business we're in. But I think it's a good value. But I just, it's just a hard venue to discuss all these details, to bring all these good staff along, and it's, anyway. Remember to vote and give Andy your votes. Upcoming on Thursday, we meet at 12:30. We'll be talking about the budget. It took 4 hours or so to do that last time because people are more veterans, so we won't need that kind of time. We'll hopefully get through the forecast comparing February last year to this November to current, so we have the effect of the forecast as well as legislative changes. Healthcare Access Fund, that whole piece, we'll spend the time doing that. I think that'll be very productive. The next week we'll be getting into reviewing some of what's happened since the budget got done. Emergency medical assistance, the bed closure stuff, all the things that you were waiting to bring up. We're going to discuss those and try to find ways to resolve some of those matters. Representative Slawik.
Mr. Chair, I'm just trying to understand, you know, in the past we'd done it by each caucus. We'd get together, we'd talk through the projects, and we'd prioritize as a group and then bring that to the chair. So you just encouraged us to talk to them more. Do you still want this today?
You want to wait?
I mean, it seems...
We have time. We just thought if you want to get it done. So if you wanted to, do you want to bring these back on Thursday?
Potentially. I mean, we want to have some time, but it seems like...
This is just, we just made this up to try and be fair. So we didn't caucus it either. This is just like, what do you think of the project? And give us your opinion. I'll just make an executive decision here. Why don't you bring them back on Thursday? Okay. The bonding committee can wait, and Andy could bring them in the beginning. We'll tally them, and we can ratify the canvassing work with that. And if you don't vote on Thursday, you don't get to vote. And Andy will make sure everybody just gets one vote, and he won't look at what you voted. There's announced something else, which I'm incapable of even using. Our committee is now on Twitter. And we have a handle. I don't know what a handle is, but we have one. Anyway, and it's at @MN_HHS Finance. So I'll read that again for me. It's at @MN_HHS Finance. And we'll be Twittering things. So, and
tweeting.
Yes. So, I'm a dinosaur. Sorry. So I wanted you to read that. Anyway, so any questions about that I won't answer? For the members that are here, which is most of us, and some of the regular people aren't here because it's bonding day, but I'll repeat this on Thursday. I expect that our budget will be quite flat. I'm praying that we're still flat on the budget forecast coming out end of February. I think we have to solve our own problems on our own budget. That's what I think. That's my prediction anyway, just based upon current situations, which actually, based on the old forecast, would be great news when you're all afraid of $500 million. So flat is pretty good. So that will require some work. I do still sincerely hope for help from each side of the table here on this stuff. We care about this a lot. Anyway, so we have some work ahead of us, and we will be diligent about it, and I really am glad to have the crew we have together. So with that, we're adjourned.